And we are live for a new episode of the Electrek Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host, and I'm joined, as usual, by Seth Wintraub. How are you doing this week, Seth?
I'm good.
All right, so a lot to talk about this week. We're going to do, of course, all the big news of the week, especially the Tesla Q1 2020 results. But let's start by the big news of the day, of course, since it just happened and it's what is on everyone's mind. We're going to discuss briefly Elon's rant on Twitter this morning, because there's a lot of words that are being thrown out there. Words like crazy, words like meltdown, words like that. And I think just it's important to calm down a little bit and look at what he actually said and what it could mean and our own theory on it. So just a quick overview of his rant this morning. The rant started by him saying that he's gonna sell almost all physical possession, including his house. He will own no house. If you guys don't know, he has like four or five houses in Bel Air in the same little neighborhood. So it looks like he was like trying to own this whole entire neighborhood. But now he says that he won't own anything. So that was weird to start with. Also, almost all physical possession. I mean, the guy has a plane. So not sure what's going to happen with that. But anyway, so everyone is like, whoa, what's happening? And then a minute later, he goes on to say Tesla stock price is too high, MIO, which means in my opinion. So not the first time he said that. A few years ago, he said the same thing. And of course, what happens, send the stock crashing at first about 6% in a few minutes with millions of shares traded. And then it went all the way down to 12%. Now I think it's down, last time I checked, about 10% today. So that basically wiped out billions worth of dollars in valuation for Tesla. And after that, he went on to his kind of usual now for the past few weeks, rant about giving people back their freedom over the shelter orders issued that he called fascist and akin to house arrest that he said in the Q1 conference call that followed Tesla's results. All right, so I'm going to give my own opinion on it, and Seth can chime in and give his own too. But the way I see it is I've seen a lot of people, because of his rant on the freedom stuff and opening the shelter, a lot of people have accused him of only thinking that because of his wanting for Tesla to restart his business, basically the Fremont factory reopen, and which would, of course, help Tesla's business, which in turn would help Tesla stock. And Elon needs the stock to be at higher levels over the next few weeks and months in order for him to trigger his stock compensation plan, the first block of stock options. Requires him right now. He completed all the requirements for the first block of stock option, except for maintaining the high valuation of over $100 billion, I think, for a few months. So, a lot of people said that's the only reason why he wants America to reopen, as people have been saying. So, my view is that maybe he said that to sort of sabotage himself, sabotage his stock option plan in order to show people that he doesn't care about that, that that's not the real reason why he's pushing for it, which I think he's sincere about that. Like we saw on the call, he almost like teared up when he started talking about it. I think he's sincere about thinking. I'm not saying that he's right. I mean that he's sincere about the belief behind it, that the impact of the shelter in place orders are bigger than the impact of the virus itself. Again, I'm not saying that's true, and I don't know that to be true or untrue. I'm just saying that he's sincere in believing that, and knowing Elon and how he reacts to critics, the fact that people were saying that he was just saying that for the money, that hurt him, in my opinion, and that might be what triggered him to say that this morning. So that's just my theory out there. Now, I'm not saying that's... If that happened, I'm not saying that that's a good thing either, because he didn't really think about Tesla employees who rely on their stock option for compensation, and they need the stock to be higher for the stock option to be worth anything. They didn't think also of some retail investors who saw their portfolio crash lately, and they saw the Tesla stock as a silver lining in their little portfolio that helped their financial situation. Didn't think of them either, I assume, but I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, so I agree 100%. I think he is definitely being sincere. He definitely believes what he's saying. And I think you're probably on board with this as well, is I don't think he's gotten the right information. I think, and you know, we'll expand on this over a while, I think maybe his pool of expertise of the people he listens to has kind of like been distilled a little bit into you know, crazy Elon Musk fans and, mm-hmm. and a little bit people who aren't really, I mean, you know, over the past few weeks he's been tweeting out some really sketchy sources on, you know, like the Bakersfield doctors, which had already been debunked by the time mm-hmm. he posted that thing. He predicted that COVID-19 would be basically gone from the U.S.
No new cases in the U.S.
No new cases by April. Mm-hmm. You know, clearly
that's not the case for sure. Yeah,
not the case. I don't even know, you know, if you're applying the same model to the U.S. Mm-hmm. I don't even think you can do that. But like, just, you know, bad decision. Not from the wrong place, but
yeah,
you know, he's just kind of making. You know, I want to say, like, he's a product of the environment which he's surrounding himself with.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, one of my tweets from a couple of days ago was, like, I feel genuinely bad for him because he doesn't have a responsible person around him that he trusts that can tell him to, like, hey, chill out on the Twitter. You're hurting your brand, your personal brand. You're hurting your companies. You're hurting your employees, the people who love you. Like, you're making a really big mistake. And of course, like, you know, those super fans around him are all like, either cheering him on or like blindly following him or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's becoming a problem, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is kind of, I guess, the culmination. So let's think about, like, all right, so, you know, going back to the tweets, lowering the stock price automatically, that, you know, if you're thinking, you know, if you have a very short attention span and maybe you had some Adderall, like, you're like, all right, I'm going to lower my value. But you're also lowering the value of all the people who invested in Tesla, and you're setting yourself up for a lawsuit again. And
yeah, there's a lot of the question about that, about the lawsuit thing. I mean, I think that's a fair point from you, though I'm not sure in terms of, like, you didn't release any new material information or anything like that, so he might be safe on the SEC front. We also don't know if he put that tweet through the board committee that is supposed to supervise his tweet. We don't know that to be true or not. But yeah, it's a fair point.
Yeah, and I mean, so a normal CEO like Warren Buffett at Berkshire Hathaway has in the past said things like, hey, you know, it seems like the stock price is overvalued right now, or, you know, irrational exuberance or whatever. The problem is Elon, because of all the, you know, the 420 thing and all the other stuff, is on like double secret probation from the SEC. So he's not, I mean, the settlement with the SEC, you know, besides the $20 million that Tesla had to pay and $20 million that Elon had to pay, was that Elon was not allowed to tweet anything that would materially affect the stock. And that is like the definition. Without going through the proper channels. Yeah. But like, something tells me that didn't go through any channels.
Your intuition might be good, but again, we don't know anything about that.
We don't know for sure.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what you say is fair, and so from my point of view, though, like, I'm not saying that he's right or wrong about the pandemic. Like you said, though, that he's definitely been wrong about a few things on the pandemic for sure. But I mean, his overall main point is that he think that the response to it is going to have a greater impact on the virus itself. And while right now we just don't know that for sure either way, because I think we're just seeing the very start of the impact of a reaction to it, because of course the financial impact and how that's going to affect the lives of many, and we know that when the economy crashes, it also affects the debt rate and everything. So we don't know exactly the impact of that. we don't know also exactly the impact of the virus itself, though we're starting to have a much greater idea. And now it's becoming clear that the whole thing about the flu death rate, anything like that, it's clearly a bigger threat than what people were saying about the flu earlier. And Elon also said that. So yeah, I think what we know now, he's been wrong with quite a few things about the viruses, but his overall big picture idea, we don't know that to be completely wrong yet. However, does that justify his tweet? Because there's a whole idea, of course, that the greater influence you have, the greater responsibility you have. And of course, Elon is extremely influential. So yeah, it's a strange situation. But my whole thing with this whole pandemic thing, it's like it's an extremely stressful situation for everyone, regardless your Joe Blow or your Elon Musk. And I like to think that we should cut everyone some slack about it, like not judge everyone too harshly on their responses to this situation, because of how much stress we are under. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump, but I haven't been cutting Donald Trump some slack over this, even though like I don't think his response have been good. But even Donald Trump, I've been cutting some slack. So, and Elon's case, I think his stress is also accentuated by the fact that he's having a kid this week or like in the next any day now, really. So I'm sure that's adding to the stress. So
yeah, I mean, and you know, it doesn't sound like his personal relationships with Grimes is very steady.
Yeah, he tweeted as his 30 million followers, he tweeted my girlfriend is mad at me. Like, I don't know why anyone would ever tweet that, and less so when you're Elon Musk and you have 30 million followers. Like, but anyway, I'm not in his head. So, but yeah, I don't necessarily.
That's a way to get in trouble.
Yeah, I don't necessarily.
If you have 10 followers, mm-hmm. let alone 30 million.
Still, I don't necessarily like the old like people throwing the word crazy and meltdown right now. I don't think that's helpful either. But yeah, it's certainly like I said in my article, it's a strange series of tweets at the very least. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's like, okay, like I get it, like stressed out about some stuff. But like, you should know yourself. You should, like, you know, he is on record saying that like his pedo boy or pedo guy tweets were stupid.
Yeah.
You know yourself. You're supposed to know yourself. You know you can get, you know, angry or stressed out or whatever. You should put in place some things that like kind of mitigate, you know, your impulses.
Mm-hmm.
So like what the problem is like he's put himself in a position where, you know, he's gone against an SEC thing, which, you know, I'm sure lawyers will hash out the details there, but you know, he's putting in...
They're salivating it already.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, I'm sure Tesla's... I'm sure Zach is already allocating, like, huge amounts of money to lawyers. So, you know, like, have some control of yourself. And I'm not... You know, I've done stupid things on Twitter. You've done stupid things on Twitter.
Most definitely.
So, you know, we're all... Mm. We've all been there. But, like, you know, come on, dude. Like... And especially, I mean, like, today's stuff wasn't even that, well, the Anthem thing was a little weird. And I'm still, like, not a fan of the Freedom stuff. I feel like, hey, you've already made some really bad calls on, you know, the Bakersfield doctors have been, you know, they've been debunked. He's kind of going around cherry picking some really weird stuff. I'm like, you know, a lot of the people that argue against Tesla, you know, use those kind of, like kind of wrong science arguments to argue it against Tesla.
Mm.
How could Elon kind of betray that whole, you know, thing and do weird science to get to this thing that he believes in? And to me, it's like, it's really a bummer, you know, like, you know, there's a certain hero thing. Like you want to have a hero. And, you know, this past week has been, for a lot of people, I mean, we did that post on, like, how you feel about Elon's tweets. And a lot of people, like, a lot of commenters that I've, you know, seen throughout the years have been like, I don't know what to do. Like, you know, on one hand, I have a couple of Teslas and I love Tesla and this other stuff, but Elon's really just, you know, throwing it all away. So, I mean, you know, like I have two Teslas, I have Powerwall, you have three Teslas. Mm-hmm. Like, we're obviously Tesla people, fans. We're not going to sell our Teslas right now or anytime soon because of this, but it is a bummer. Like, it's really like, all right, well, not only is Elon human, but he's kind of, you know, not a great human in this particular area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, if we bring it back to, I mean, we're not like an Elon Musk podcast here. We're more like a Tesla and electric vehicle podcast. Right. So if we try to bring it back to the impact on Tesla, and I think that's what you were trying to do right there, you posted an interesting poll earlier this week, and I was kind of surprised by the result. I knew that, you know, with the nature of Electrek being an EV-centric blog and having a lot of Tesla fans as followers, I knew that it wouldn't be the majority of people that see it negatively on Tesla, what Elon is doing right now. But I was still surprised that a strong part of our readership were against it. The 39.6% said that Elon's comments is negatively affecting their view on Tesla, which is a lot. So if, like, I mean, I don't have any statistic to show, like, how it is in the broader population, but I would have to assume that it is higher than in the electric population. So that's an interesting point here. So it's reflecting badly on Tesla. In more direct ways, what happened today with the tweet about a stock beyond the SEC possible intervention here, like, Tesla just raised a bunch of money at a fairly high stock price here. And Tesla goes doing that, selling a bunch of stocks to institutional investors and things like that at a high price. And then Elon going on the other way, saying that price is too high, or like around that price is trading too high. That's not a good look for them. If you ever want to go back to the stock market, right, to raise again after that, they're going to have some questions. And like, so the timing of it is weird. Like, I think it was overall one of the rare times where Elon has a bad influence on Tesla, is having a bad effect on Tesla. I mean, quite literally with, like, crashing the stock, but I think the ramifications are bigger than... And I think he thought very short-term when he made that tweet. He didn't think long-term at all. I think he made life a lot more difficult for him in the coming days and weeks, and maybe you could have years of repercussion, really.
Yeah. So... maybe we should move on from that.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll probably end up coming back.
Yeah, we just spent 20 minutes on this. So right before that happened, Tesla released their Q1 2020 financial result,
which were good.
Yes, were surprisingly good. I mean, we posted our preview earlier in that week, and we set the Wall Street expectation at just over $6 billion in revenue and a loss of 32 cents per share. And Tesla brought in just... below $6 billion in revenue, so almost on target in revenue, but a surprise earning of 9 cents per share. So they actually turned a profit. So that was surprising, considering that the Fremont factory was down for a week in that quarter, and also there was some difficulty just delivering cars in general during the last few weeks of March. So people were expecting a much worse situation here, and Tesla kind of delivered on it. However, there was a negative cash flow from inventory. The inventory went up. They sold about like 15,000 cars that they produced that they couldn't sell. So the inventory is higher now. So the situation is not as good. But I mean, the most important thing is that they still have $8 billion in cash. So they're going to be able to get through this difficult time if it doesn't get a lot more crazier than that. But yeah, overall, we were pleasantly surprised. And as usual, like we like to post our article on the actual earnings, like if for the guys are into the numbers and everything. But what's most fun about the earnings is that Elon gets talking about products and things like that, and we get some announcement around the call, around the actual investor presentation, but also the conference call that follows. So some of the most interesting things I think that came out of the call. Cybertruck Gigafactory, Elon put a timeline on the announcement of the location as soon as next month, and within the next 3 months. So probably this quarter, and but maybe as soon as I mean the call was when I said next month, that was earlier this week. So it is this month. So likely this month, most likely this month, but within the this month, but within the quarter. So I thought that was interesting, and the way he said it, it sounded more like they're close to a deal, and it's most likely going to be this month. And we don't know yet where it is. He didn't get any indication of where it could be. So Nashville apparently is in the running. Texas, a few locations, most likely Austin, Texas. Joplin, Missouri. Put a bid for $1 billion in incentive. And we learned earlier this week that Wichita, Kansas also put itself in the running and submitted an official bid with Tesla. Though we don't know how seriously Tesla is taking those.
You know, I thought it was interesting that Elon said that the battery day would no longer be from New York, but it would be from either, which we think it's going to be next month or the month after, or this month, right?
No, yeah, he did give an update on that too, and he said that it would be most likely, couldn't be sure, but most likely the third week of May.
Right, so we're talking now 3 weeks from now, mm-hmm. and it would be from either Texas or California, no longer New York. If it's from Texas, that would seem to indicate that, like, maybe.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that, but I wasn't so sure right away, because I think we need to put it in the context of the pandemic, really. Like, he wants to hold an event, and events are problematic right now due to the pandemic. I think why it's not in New York, because you think, like, New York is not going to be a good place to be in because it was hit so hard. It's going to be a lot harder to hold an event there in the next month. So I think that's where it's not in New York anymore. Then California or Texas. Elon is already in Texas often for the SpaceX for work on SpaceX and the Starship. So Texas is reopening up too a lot quicker than other states. So he thinks that it's just going to be easier to hold the event there because he's already there and they're already more open to business than other states. While California is obviously where Tesla is based and where also they have the pilot production line for the Roadrunner cell production, which we think is going to be part of the announcement, so that would make sense. So it doesn't mean that the factory won't be in Texas. I'm just putting it in context. It doesn't mean that it will be in Texas. The fact that he said that. But yeah, about the battery day, Elon called it one of the most exciting days in Tesla's history. It's going to be. He didn't want to preempt the day with any announcement. But it did hype it up with saying that a lot of exciting news is going to be announced there. And Zachary Kirkhorn, Tesla CFO, also spilled some of the beans with improvement in battery cost and production capacity that's going to enable some of Tesla's production ramp up that they've been promising for a while. And yeah, that's something we already talked about as part of our report on the secret Project Roadrunner. That it's going to be about improving battery cost, improving battery production capacity, and also making some improvement in longevity of the battery cells and energy density. So basically all the most important stuff that goes into making battery cells.
So what are your predictions? Million mile battery, density improvement that allows 200 megahertz or 200 kilowatt hour packs. What else?
Yeah, I think the main thing is going to be, and it's not fancy, like it's not like a headline grabbing anything like that, but it's reduction in capital expenditure to deploy large production capacity, which sounds like a bunch of words that I just made up, but what you need to get out of that is that believe it or not, is actually the main thing that's going to enable the acceleration of electric vehicle adoption. So mass production of battery cell, that doesn't cost a lot. So the thing with Gigafactory 1 in Nevada Like, that was a big thing. And we're going to make 100 gigawatt hour of battery cell production. It's going to be a gigafactory. And it is one. Like, I think the battery cell production is around 50 gigawatt hour right now. It's not quite the 100 that Tesla was aiming for in the first place, but it's growing and it's going well. But it costs billions of dollars to get there. So can you imagine how much it would take to get a terawatt hour of battery capacity, which is 1,000 gigawatt hour? If 50 gigawatt costs you billions to get there, you can make the math. It costs a lot to get there. So Tesla's battery cell is not going to be only cheaper to produce. It's going to be cheaper to deploy large capacity of production capacity of the battery cell. So the Tesla developed the actual machines that build the cells. So the machine that builds the machine, quite literally it, and they managed to reduce the cost of that while increasing production capacity. So what it means is that they're going to need less volume and less capital to deploy battery cell production capacity. That's really the big announcement on that day. Now, of course, for the consumers, what they want to know, like you said, that's the 200 kilowatt, like enabling a bigger battery pack. So 200 kilowatt hour for the Roadster, it's likely going to be, Roadrunner is likely going to be needed for that. The other thing, Tesla Semi, I think that's a big part of it too. So higher energy density, I think that's going to be required to produce the Tesla Semi. And now we just learned with Tesla's release of the result that the production of Tesla Semi has been pushed to 2021, which might be linked to that. Like, you might think they won't have enough cells to build that truck until next year, once they have that Roadrunner battery cells.
So do you think they'll retrofit older factories, like the Reno factory, with this new technology? Yeah. Will they call it Terrafactory 1, Terrafactory 2?
I'm not sure that they're going to be able to build their own battery cells in Gigafactory Nevada. Like, I think contractually. Yeah, contractually, because of the deal with Panasonic, I think Panasonic has to be the one producing cells there, and Tesla has to buy the cells. They might be able to do it, like, it just in another building there or something. I don't know if they can get around that, but for the most part, I think they're going to have to. They're going to build some production capacity. We know in Berlin. I would assume they will in Shanghai eventually, though I'm not sure that's going to be one of the first place. And I think that Cybertruck Gigafactory is going to probably have also battery cell production. So that might also play into the Texas thing that he said. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. One other thing that came out of the earnings was the self-driving subscription service. So we posted that earlier this week because a friend of the site, Tesla Hacker Green, managed to find in the code of the in-app purchase in the Tesla's mobile app, he managed to find that there's code built in for a pay-as-you-go subscription system for the FSD package, a full self-driving package. Elon was asked about it on the call, and he did confirm that it's coming probably later this year, towards the end of the year. But both Musk and Kirkhorn and the CFO, they both made it clear that the best financial option is going to be to buy it straight up when you're in a car, which makes sense. Yeah, like it makes sense that they would do that. But what does that mean is that the actual price per month, if you want to get it as you go, that's going to be high. Like, don't expect a $40, $50 a month, because if you look at it, because Kirkhorn was the clearest about it. He said, and financially, rolling the upfront purchase of the FSD option into a loan in the vehicle or a lease will be the least expensive plan on a monthly basis to own. So currently, it costs $7,000. The longest kind of monthly loan you can get is like $72, I think, for a car. I rarely see anything longer than that. So that's $97 per month. So that's the lowest possible end. But I think it's going to be much longer than that, because loans are most, I think the average loan is not 72 months. It's shorter. And also it has to be more than that. So I think like something like $150 a month.
Do we know it's going to be monthly? Maybe, you know, you have a drive to go to, you know, Florida or something. And you're just like, give me a day. I need a day with the full self-driving.
That could be an interesting option for sure. I don't think anyone said month. Well, you did say monthly basis here, but that monthly basis just means if you pay for a full month, it would be more expensive than just rolling it into a loan. So yeah, not impossible. It could be an interesting option for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be something to look at for later this year. And of course, 7,000, that's now. I think if you rolled that out toward the end of the year, it's going to be even more expensive to purchase it already. So the monthly payment is likely going to be even more than that.
It's quite expensive, actually. Even spread out, like $100 a month for a software update. I mean, it would be nice if it was something that you used all the time and, you know, you were watching TV in the back seat while the car was moving.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool, but like, I don't know. Like,
you have to take it into account within Tesla delivering all the features, really. Right. Like, right now, it seems expensive, but then having a personal driver for $200 a month, that sounds just like crazy cheap. So, right. I'm not saying that's what we're going to have by the end of the year, but that's what Tesla is aiming towards. So, there's a balance here for sure.
Right.
Model S range claim. So that was kind of a funny story here. Elon claimed that Tesla already achieved a 400-mile range car based on the EPA cycle, because with that recent range update that they did with the Long Range Plus Model S last month, or just over a month ago, with the range of being upgraded based on the EPA test to 391 miles, he said that when they did that test, Elon said that, that's Elon's claim, when they said that test, they left the door open with the key inside, and that kept the car powered on instead of getting into sleep mode, and that drained 2% more of the battery than they should have. So the tests with the EPA, it's not like one continuous test like that. They do take breaks, and they do charge a car too. Like they try to recreate like a certain kind of normal cycle of the battery. So they claim that during part of that test, when the car should have went to sleep, they did a mistake that led the car to stay awake. And when the car is awake, of course, even though you're not driving it, there's what we call a vampire drain. It's vampire drain even when you go to sleep, because it keeps pinging sometimes. But if the car stays on with door open and the key in, that is accelerated here. So it 2% that was drained that wasn't supposed, and he claims that with that 2%, Tesla, the Model S, should have achieved a 400-mile EPA-rated range, which is significant on like just a milestone basis, because he's saying that the car is already, so it's not a range upgrade. Your car, if you have a recent Model S, it's already achieving that apparently. So there's no change there. It's just officially the EPA confirming that the car has 400 miles of range. I think it's interesting in the context that a lot of people have been trying for that 400 mile. Like we talked about Lucid recently claiming that they have the Hair is going to be the first car with 400 miles of range. Of course, the Hair was supposed to come later this year, but we believe that most likely it's going to be pushed to next year. Peter Robinson, the CEO of Lucid, when he talked about that, he did claim something a lot crazier, where he said it was like 400 miles of highway driving range, which with EPA would put it closer to probably like 450, even maybe higher than that. So that we're talking about maybe something that different here, which brings me to people talking about Tesla achieving the EPA range on your car, which a lot of people say that they have difficulties doing that, which is fair. I think, but it's fair, but at the same time, it depends on how you drive. It depends on a bunch of different conditions. So I think the most important thing here is using the EPA as a benchmark, and Tesla being able to improve on that benchmark to 400 miles. That's still significant. Like it's still efficiency improvement. So I think that's good on that front. But don't necessarily expect to go inside the car and get 400 miles unless you drive like my grandpa or something.
Do you browse Rad Power Bikes a lot?
I do get a lot of Rad Power Bikes ads on Electrek. I mean, I do research a lot of e-bikes on Electrek. Like, I'm a big fan of Micah and Mikey and their posts on e-bikes on Electrek. If you guys don't follow that, you should. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, apparently, Micah just posted that today, that e-bike sales are way up in the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I think that...
I mean, if you're used to taking a bus or a train or whatever mm-hmm. somewhere, and you can take an e-bike,
yeah,
it's kind of a good thing
to yeah, do. Yeah, it makes sense. And so I think it's more the fact that e-bikes manufacturer are ramping up their ad spend among this boost in demand. So that's probably why you're seeing a bunch of ads right now.
Thanks to them. They should sponsor the podcast.
Yeah, Rad Power.
If you're listening out there, Rad Power.
Give us a shout out. Speaking of e-bikes, you got this one that Micah reviewed. He actually gave it to me, this little $420 e-bike.
Still working?
Yeah, it's still working. It's pretty fun. It's a fun little e-bike. I mean, it's not like I'm at the limit of being too big for it, but my girlfriend loves it. It's fine for smaller people, and it works great for it's so small. It fits in the my Model X, like the bottom part of the trunk. You know the little bottom part.
Yeah, that was part of the review.
Yeah, you can drop it right there, so you can still use your full trunk and add the little e-bike in there. It's fun. I like it. All right, Powerwall during their earnings, Tesla also confirmed that it installed its 100,000 Powerwall during the last quarter. So that's total. It's not last quarter, but they achieved it last quarter. So that's interesting because that's something I get asked a lot about. Like, are Tesla even delivering Powerwall? I was like, I have a reservation for 3 years now. Like, why don't I get a Powerwall? The demand for that is crazy. I would agree probably that Tesla didn't handle the whole process very well, but they just were overwhelmed with demand for the Powerwall. So the rollout has been kind of weird. And depending on where you are, they didn't prioritize installation in places where like electricity rates are low and already, and there's no like large problem with blackouts, anything like that, or burnouts. But the installation keeps ramping up, and now it's 100,000 units. And one of the things that's affecting a lot of the demand, of course, is in California. They have this California self-generation incentive programs that make them super cheap. They get up to $5,800 of rebate per Powerwall, and most houses they use more than one. So like and you can get more than one Powerwall. Like I've seen ads where like installers are advertising the Powerwall for Tesla. Like they're paying to advertise it for Tesla, and because they get the installation due to something in the program where they it's not per unit, it's not per type of battery, it's per installer that they have a limit on it. So Tesla already reached a limit like a year ago or something. So, but you can still get with third-party installers. And I thought that was a solar hat here. It's an actual roofing ad. But you can still reach out to one of the third-party installers and they can get that rebate for you. And you basically get a Powerwall for free. If you get two Powerwalls, one of them is free basically. So it's a good deal. And Tesla also said that their tech rate for their residential solar customer is 40%. That I thought it was actually higher than that, but 40% is still good. And they are definitely prioritizing installation of the Powerwall for solar customers. All right, I thought that one was interesting. By the way, if you have questions, put them in the live comments, and we're going to get to them in a few minutes. We just have two more articles to get through. But VW admitting that Tesla's lead in software, and especially self-driving software, is significant in an internal leak communication. So that's direct words from Ebert Dias, the CEO of Volkswagen. German Automobile Magazine, they leaked a bunch of internal communication from a webcast that was presented by the CEO last week, and it basically covered the entire Volkswagen software strategy. And within that strategy, the strategy is basically, I mean, I think they literally called it catch up with Tesla, something like that. Where is it? I thought put it somewhere in there. but they put a team together, a team of within Volkswagen software team, that their goal is to catch up to Tesla software lead, which they admitted is significant. And he said that it's giving him headaches how much Tesla is good at software. In especially autopilot software and how Tesla is gathering data, which is something that Elon covered during the call earlier this week. He claimed that Tesla is getting more data, real world data than everybody else combined. So DS said, "What worries me the most is the capability in assistance systems." So he means autopilot. 500,000 Teslas function as a neural network that continuously collects data and provide the customer a new driving experience every 14 days. I'm not sure that's true, the 14 days thing, but whatever. With improved properties. No other automobile manufacturer can do that today, which I think is fair. Though some people argue that Mobileye, and now part of Intel, is doing something similar, and they are in a lot of cars too. So there's an argument to be made here. But yeah, I think it's an interest. You also talk about the overall user experience, which I think is also something that like it gets overlooked a lot. But automakers, they have to look at Tesla as the leader on that. I was glad to hear those comments from it. It boosts my confidence in Volkswagen, really, if anything, because they're looking at the right leader here. Like you have to look at the leadership and get inspired by it. And when it comes to software, Tesla is the clear leader. I don't think there's an argument there at all, like against that.
Yeah, of all the automakers, the legacy automakers, it feels like Volkswagen is taking this electrification situation the most serious at this point. A lot of, I would say, Ford and Chevy, or Ford and GM, are certainly getting involved in EVs. But you know, a lot of times their talk doesn't really match their like internal communications. So I think we saw that the numbers in Ford and GM were really low in terms of what they expected to turn out in the middle of the decade, like 2025. Their numbers were like, you know, whatever Tesla delivers today. And then, you know, you have the other side of the spectrum with like BMW and Honda. You know, there's Brad did a report today about Honda, or yesterday maybe, you know, Canada CEO saying, you know, electrification is kind of BS. BMW, you know, depending on who was running the show at the time, they have different, but mostly negative things to say about EVs. So, you know, Volkswagen, I believe, is aware of the situation in terms of the transition to EVs and the fact that they're taking some hard questions. They're taking some hard look at their operations, at the situation, and they're making, like, they're not too proud or too ingrained in their thinking to, you know, brush this stuff off.
Exactly.
So for them, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because they've been quicker to admit that Tesla is the leader in electric vehicles than a lot of other automakers. So that, I think that's a good point, and they're not too proud to admit that, which is a big part of the process of getting better. Lincoln canceled their plan to use the Rivian technology platform for their first electric vehicles. So when Ford first announced that they were investing in Rivian and they were going to use some of the technology for a vehicle, it was later confirmed that that vehicle is going to be the first Lincoln electric all-electric vehicle. But this week, earlier this week, the in internal communication from Ford to its employee on the website, they said that they canceled that plan. They're going to use their own full electric platform. So I don't know exactly, I don't know what to think about that, because I've been hammering Ford on the fact that why did they need to use someone else's platform? Like they were saying they were going to use Rivian, and they also supposedly going to use the VW MEB platform in Europe. So I was like, hey, you know, this is the future of the industry. You need to build an expertise in that and use your own thing. So I suppose I'm happy on that front. But on the other hand, for Rivian, I'm like, what the hell, man? we were working on that. Like, we were supposed to leverage our platform to do that, and then you canceled the plans because of the reason they gave is rapidly changing environment. So, all right.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably more to it. Maybe the two teams didn't work together very well.
Maybe.
Maybe, you know, Ford was like, you know, I don't want to work with these clowns. We've got our own, you know, we're the best truck makers in the world. And the Rivian guys were like, we don't want to deal with these legacy dudes. Like, maybe it didn't work out on that kind of level. But, you know, Ford still owns a chunk of Rivian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Might be their most valuable asset.
Yeah, I've argued that before.
So we'll see how that goes. All right, should we... Dare we dip into the comments?
Yeah, let's see what people have to say.
All right. Pedro Salazar, after Tesla starts producing their own batteries, what do you think will change with the relationship with Panasonic? Giga Nevada will keep growing with Panasonic technology or not? Thanks. Good question.
Whether they keep growing or not, I don't know. I think Tesla is going to buy every battery he can buy for a foreseeable future. So I don't think it's going to hurt the relationship that much. But it's sure... clear at this point that the relationship has evolved from being like a battery partner where Tesla will also like develop like new battery chemistry and give it to Panasonic so that he can produce their cell for them and that. I think that that's evolving where just it's more like a supplier buyer relationship. It's not going to be as ingrained, like all integrated into each other as much. I think Panasonic is going to remain an important supplier for Tesla for the foreseeable future.
Yep. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Christian Vieira, regarding the earnings call, I'm surprised Tesla wasn't asked about how they plan to reopen their factories, production, and workforce with social restrictions in place. I think they talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Elon has been clear that when you said like reopen everything, you still want some social distancing measure in place. So that's fair. Also, like Tesla has reopened Gigafactory Shanghai, and Gigafactory Shanghai has been producing cars fairly well despite some supply chains disruptions. So they know how to... reopen with better measures to implement social distancing. So I'm not too worried about that, but I'm sure that someone is working on that at Tesla. So the thing about reopening the factories is more about the timing that's now difficult to pinpoint because of the shelter-in-place orders.
SF says, once the world is past COVID-19, which we don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon, Do you think it will affect electric car sales positively or negatively? I'm worried it's going to be the latter. The legacy car companies are certainly looking for any excuse not to make electric cars.
Yeah.
So we've seen that in Europe and also actually in China as well, and obviously in the U.S. So... maybe not good. I don't know.
I mean, we've seen the early impact in Europe right now, the numbers. What you're looking at, what you really want, really, is I think it's going to affect negatively overall sales of electric cars, but it's also going to affect overall sales of cars. So it might still affect positively the mix of electric car within car sales. We've seen that happen in Europe now, where last month was the best month for EVs in Europe, where 10% of the car sales were EVs, which is extremely high number for Europe in its entirety. So maybe that's the silver lining here. Like the mix of EVs is going to be higher, but overall numbers most likely is going to be lower, in my opinion.
All right. Zach Hall, a fantastic audio recording engineer.
an editor of 9to5 Mac and podcaster.
He asked, please discuss the due date on Monday tweet. So it sounds like Elon is going to have a child on Monday.
Yeah.
Give or take. I don't know if it's he knows it's Monday, cesarean, or whatever. What are the chances that the child has a normal name?
Zero. I don't remember all of Elon's children's names, but they are all there for sure. And then you had Grimes into the picture. I mean, I don't know much about Elon's first wife, with whom he had the children with, but I would assume that she's a little bit more on the normal side than Grimes. Not that that's a bad thing. Not that it's a bad thing. Like, you can be not normal. I don't care. But it will definitely, I think, result in some...
creative binary you know, print symbol then like a bird. We'll see. Yeah. Maybe it's just gonna be like, you know, William
Musk. It's going to be John.
All right. Raymond says, what are your thoughts on the Chinese competitors like NIO, XPeng, Byton? Do you think the U.S. market is ready for a Chinese brand?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some, you know, charges of, you know, I think XPeng has gotten a lot of flack for copying Tesla a little bit. NIO's got some cool stuff. They, in China, they have the battery swap stations, which are pretty cool, and I think NIO's doing a really good job in China of kind of work, you know, on the brand. They have their own shops and cafes, which kind of build a NIO, you know, fan club.
Mm-hmm.
And Byton, you know, they have that screen across the thing. It's kind of their thing.
It's kind of obnoxious a little bit. Like,
it's a little obnoxious.
Yeah, whoever did it a bit on that. But on the technology side, they seem to have a good thing going. So I don't know. You see a bunch of established automakers already looking to do these China-made electric cars and ship them globally, including in the U.S. So if that happens, I think that's going to happen first. And we're talking about like Volvo, Polestar, right, BMW. We thought that, like, if BMW were to do it with the iX3, which apparently they killed, the iX3 is still happening, it's just not in the U.S., I think that would have gone a long way to help Chinese brands to then Chinese car to get into the U.S. under Chinese brands. So there's a big difference between a Volvo making an electric car in China and shipping them in the U.S. than unknown U.S. brand in the U.S., unknown Chinese brand in the U.S. doing it.
You know what? We did see a BYD dealership in Los Angeles. Downtown, a little south of downtown, on your way to USC. So they're BYD is a Chinese brand, although Warren Buffett owns a bunch of it. And they're going to start selling vehicles, and I mean, they definitely were about to sell vehicles. Yeah. So
they're already doing like trucks and buses,
right?
Yeah,
they're coming. Rich Tier says, I think someone asked Elon whether his tweets had been vetted, probably, and he said no.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I didn't see that either.
Maybe I missed it.
I think we would have seen it.
Yeah.
Maybe it was previous. Angel Sanchez says, I think he might have to pay the SEC another $20 million, and that's pocket change for him, considering he will get paid $1 billion in Tesla stock soon. I don't know if it's going to be that easy. But, you know, he's got lawyer money. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see. Reg Aldridge says, Elon shooting from the lip. Pretty sad, really, ? Very disappointed at the lack of compassion for those suffering family losses in these hard times. An early and sincere apology would help.
I think he's being sincere about thinking that the impact is greater... the financial impact, which again is resulting in loss of lives too. Like, we have to be clear on that. I'm not saying it's more, I'm not saying it's less, I'm saying I don't know. But you cannot be mad at him for like a lack of compassion. I think he's being sincere in you think it's going to have a bigger negative impact, not so. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, his sincerity is there. You know, like the what he's using as source material doesn't seem to be his typical high level of vetting. And there's some people who make the argument, well, either he's, you know, really bad at understanding science, which we don't think that's the case, or he's being malicious. I don't know if you can have that argument, but, you know, it's out there. All right. Robert Matthews says, when Elon is stressed and frustrated, he creates self-inflicted wounds. This is the case here. Hard to disagree with that.
Yeah, probably fair.
Da Vinci says that raise was before the Corona thing. He's saying stock price is high considering the current crisis. No issue there.
Well, you didn't elaborate as much as you did there, so that's for some, but it's also not the point.
Right. Nicholas Kelly says, how do you think the economy shock and Fremont shutdown will affect Plaid timeline? This guy's asking the real questions. Where's my technology? I think it's not going to help the Plaid timeline. I think, you know, Tesla's trying to keep the cash coming in, and cash is not going to come in. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Plaid's going to bring in some cash for sure, but I think Model Y is where the energy is going for the next forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, And then once they're caught up on Model Y, I think maybe they'll start thinking about Plaid. They're very serial in their direction. What do you think?
I mean, the last we heard was like summer, this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's coming quick. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
You didn't say that. You didn't say considering the pandemic. That's not even true. Like,
no, he didn't say that. I mean, that's all anybody's talking about.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Haters gonna hate. All right. RD says, I support Elon's statements 100%. So this is a good example of the people that Elon is surrounding himself with. And they are supported by real, all caps, infectious disease experts, like Dr. Rao, which I believe is the doctor who's been behind the hydroxychloroquine, which is not helpful. So he's a bogus guy. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Okay. So this is a good example of what we were talking
about. Yeah, and 100%, like, really, right. Like, maybe, like I said, maybe he's right, but like he's definitely been wrong on this subject too. So
I mean, you have to at least acknowledge that his statements are not going over well with a huge portion of society.
Yeah.
And if you care about Elon and you care about Tesla, you want him to kind of realize that what he's saying is making a lot of people really pissed off. All right, let's go. Herbert. Herbert. Five levels of friendship. The first level friend invites you to a party. Second level friend talks you at a party. Let's continue with him. Third level friend holds back your hair when you pray to the porcelain god. All right, I don't know if we're going to a good place with this guy. Let's go back to, all right, Joseph Versil. Hey, Electric, do you live in Boca Raton?
Yes. When you're in Florida, are you close to Boca Raton? You're not in Florida right now, but...
No, I'm on the other side. I'm in Tampa.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay.
So, but we did have Zach, our recording engineer, did spend quite a bit of time there, and he does do, I think that's near all the space stuff. So that's maybe our connection there. Let's see. All right. Dr. Roro has two PhDs, but he still got chloroquine wrong. Tons of peer-reviewed papers, science prize awards, world, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, capitalizing, actually treating patients in an infectious disease hospital. That's great. You're wrong. What's level 3, 4? Okay. So we're going back to Mo again. Fifth level friend. All right. This is the kind of friend he needs. Fifth level friend convinces you that attending the party is a big waste of time. Elon needs a fifth level friend. All right, there's some stuff.
The comments are really devolving.
Fast. Yeah. All right, Noodles. Elon was expressing elite frustration. We, the little people, have big challenges, plus paranoia and death is just one bad Uber call away. Public transport is a last resort. Stay strong, peeps. All right. Chase Drum, I think referring to the autopilot price, thinks it's going to be a lot more than $100 a month. Yeah. I tend to agree with you, Chase. Mostly due to the convenience and how much some people already spend on Uber. That's a good point. Kobe K says, when will Fremont allow Tesla to resume production? Also, during this time, are producing absolutely zero cars there. Don't they have some stuff allowed to go? I think at one point they were going to make some ventilators there. I'm sure. I think they were going to switch the Model Y line or get the Model Y line.
I think they're allowed to do like a certain level of maintenance type of work, which I think Tesla is rolling into some factory upgrade stuff and everything, but they are not allowed to produce any car whatsoever, so there's no car production.
And it's clear that that's really frustrating, Elon. That's kind of the impetus for all this stuff. All right, Joel Sapp. Other outlets have said in the past that manufacturers tell the EPA the range number. It sounds like the EPA tells you a max number and you can publish lower.
Yeah.
I think that might be in reference to Porsche publishing a lower.
Yeah, but not just Porsche has done it. Tesla has done it in the past too. We've reported on it, like on the Model 3, what they did with that. So it's not... Yeah, I mean, EPA tells you what they get from their cycle. That's what you can advertise with, but you can advertise lower if you want,
All right, Kobe's back. In your recent article from today, Fred, you spoke about update on GM's EV program. Was that you
or no. Brad? Yeah, that's Brad, and I didn't post that.
When will GM start mass producing their EVs? I think whenever Detroit or the UAW says it's okay. Start mass producing their EVs.
Depends once you consider mass production for sure, but like the numbers we heard internally weren't impressive. Like, I think it was like 400,000 by 2025 or something like that, which is between five or six different models at that point, so nothing too crazy. But yeah, the article this morning that Brad posted on was one of GM's leadership saying that all the day where GM only produced electric cars is going to be sooner than they think, than people think. But he didn't give a clear timeline on that either. So.
Which is kind of pointless because a lot of people don't think GM will ever stop doing electric cars. So
Gas and car.
All right, so Kobe K says, what do you think of VW? Did they fix the software problems? I think they're working on the software problems, and they're a little bit jealous of how well Tesla handles software issues.
Yeah, so I don't have that many sources within like Volkswagen and that, so I never had a clear picture on the alleged software issues. Like, some people are saying that it's like bad, like, oh, nothing works and whatever. But if you're trusting what VW say lately, it's like it's more like just the refinement of stuff. Like, they're doing some. If you think of the Model 3, if you remember the early days of the Model 3 rolling out, like the software stack was incomplete. Tesla delivered car with a software stack incomplete. I think the same thing's happening with Volkswagen. It's just they decided not to ship the car with that software, then not all the features that they promised and everything. So I think that's the only difference here.
All right. Pre-runner wannabe, even though Elon did not found Tesla, it can be hard. I mean, he's listed as a co-founder, but, you know, Eberhard, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, it can be hard to separate the company from the man. I'm left with a sour taste in my mouth, although I still want a Model 3 because the car is still very good. I think this is the sentiment that a broad swath of people are voicing right now. You know, this is the thing that the super fans aren't really addressing. Like, you can be down with Elon, you know, he can be beating up your sister and you're rooting for Elon, but that doesn't help Elon in the long run, right? Like, in the short run, he's going to retweet you and he's going to, you know, answer your questions. But in the long run, are you really helping Elon? Are you really helping Tesla?
Yeah.
And, you know, these people like this RD guy here, they're not helping. They're not helping Elon. They're not helping Tesla. They're just, you know, kind of distilling this like circular thing that's kind of ruining
they are creating a confirmation bias situation, right? Other than a constructive feedback loop, that's what's happening, really.
All right, Philip Laval says, any news on the Model X videos? Come on, Fred, what's
going on? Well, the first one, I'm filming it this weekend. The second one, actually, it's the further, like, the next one is filming this weekend, so hopefully later next week it's gonna come out. I just got the product from the sponsor of the video, so I can show it in the video. I needed that last thing. I needed to have everything to do the video. Now it's here, so you guys are gonna see it later this week. Next week.
All right, cool. All right. Why the hell is he tweeting about stock price? That's the question everybody wants to know. What is going on with EPA testing? Model S can barely reach it, if at all, but Porsche can exceed it by 30. Yeah, we kind of talked about that.
Porsche is being more conservative than Tesla, for sure, on the EPA numbers.
Yeah. Green Gold asks, battery day date. So what do you think?
20th? It's the week of the 17th of May through the 23rd. So I would assume like the 20th or 21st, probably.
All right.
Which is a Wednesday or Thursday.
That's a good... Gook Wapanzi, who often commenters, says Elon should name his new baby COVID. That... Not a bad name.
Not happening.
Dog Flap asks, if the boy turned out to be a girl, it could be called Mary Jane Musk.
All right.
Okay. Where are the ventilators?
In hospitals.
Ventilators aren't a thing anymore. COVID-19 only kills 0.5% of people it infects. Elon has a huge point.
Yeah, it's a, yes and no. Like that's right, but it doesn't mean like. Let's not get into it. Like it's much more complicated issue than that. Like,
just quickly, if it kills 0.5% of the people and it's super contagious and we let everybody get it, out of the 300 million people in the U.S., that means how many people die? What, 15 million? Something like that? Or whatever.
Yeah, 15.
1.5 million even. So if you're cool with 1.5 million and that lottery, then... That's you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My prediction is that Fremont will be closed all the month of May. I work in the Bay Area, and we won't be going to back work till June.
That makes sense.
Okay. Hydrochloroquine. All right. I think we might be ending the... Reno Gigafactory is resuming on May 4th.
Yeah, that's right.
That's exciting. And I think that's it.
Yes. All right. Thanks a lot for listening, everyone. Thanks a lot for watching on YouTube. You can give us a thumbs up. That helps with the video and the channel. Apparently, the YouTube algorithm likes the thumbs up, so doesn't hurt to hit it. And you can give us a subscribe. Like Philip said, more videos coming soon. So if you want to get notified when that video comes, you give us a subscribe and also hit the little bell button that will actually tell you when a new video is up. I think that just the subscribe thing now doesn't do anything on YouTube for some reason. Thanks a lot for listening on your podcast app. Well, I appreciate it. Even if you don't get to see our beautiful faces on the YouTube, you can still listen to us on any podcast app out there. I'm going to see you same place, same time next week. Ciao.